President, I'm an alcoholic. Thing somewhere. Yeah, give it. This is step five. I always like to have a disclaimer before I start, so here goes. The steps say very little about alcohol or sobriety. Early on, Bill Wilson said these steps are designed for living, and I agree with that. These lectures are not about staying sober so much as they're about living life on life's terms. I'm not an expert by any definition of the word, and this is not about how to work the steps, but more about my personal experience, strength, and hope with working the steps, okay? I'm going to do a quick review. Previously in step three, I made a decision to turn my will and life over to the care, and I want to emphasize the word care, of God. And it was just a decision, and as I said previously, I hadn't quite accepted a belief in God at this time, so I decided to turn my will and my life over to the care of Alcoholics Anonymous. And today I think alcoholics is a God-given or a divine-given tool for us drunks to stay sober, just like dentists are a gift to when we have a toothache. With the help of my second sponsor, Gallagher, he made it clear I had to do some things before I could turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And step three was just a decision to do that. And what I had to do first started out with the inventory. And every problem I've ever had and every problem I'm ever going to have has to start with an inventory to solve it. In step four, I did an inventory of some things I needed to change. And I'd like you to just hold that thought. I'll repeat it. In step four, I did an inventory of things I needed to change. I want to get back to that, but first I want to go on, because this is about step five. And step five is we admitted to God, ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs, okay? And these wrongs are what we're inventorying. And I think I said before, I started my first, fourth, and fifth step with Big Jim Pratt, and I was about a year sober, and it was a laundry list of things I did wrong. Just a list. And the fifth step was like a confession to that. Now, that was not without value, because I felt better, especially because Big Jim heard it and he didn't chastise me for anything I did. He kind of supported that I wasn't alone, because he did some of the things I did, and he told me a lot of people did a lot of the things I did, because we wouldn't come here if we didn't do some stupid things, you know what I mean? And it made me feel better about my past, but I think the steps, all of them, are more about the future than the past. So I felt better, and we burned it after it was over, and I wished I wouldn't have done that, because I'd like to see it. Step five is more about the future, and it's a continuing of the inventory. And I want to add a parable from page 20 in the steps we took by Joe McHugh. I'm going to read this actually word for word. The story is told of a guy who had two horses. It worried him that he couldn't tell them apart. So he finally cropped one's tail, and he said, that worked for a while, but the tail grew back. Then he thought he would mark one horse's hooves with chalk, and that worked for a while, until the horse walked through some water. Finally, his son got a letter from him saying, well, son, I finally figured out how to tell those two horses apart. I've discovered that the white one is 4 inches taller than the black one. And the thing is, Joe tells that, and it's kind of hokey. And the first time I read it, I thought, what the hell? But parables are stories that are kind of hokey that teach us alcoholics we can remember that. And if you think about it, there was this old unemployed carpenter that told parables, 2,000 years ago, and we're still reading them. And some of them are pretty hokey too, But that's how he taught. And I'm going to tell another story. This is not a parable. This is a true story from a book that I published in 2013. And this is a paragraph out of it. Many years ago, I had the privilege of being associated with an inmate named Willie. Willie's addiction and the mean streets and harsh prison life. I hear music. Does anybody else hear that? Willie's addiction on the mean streets and prison life had hardened him. He was still physically formidable in spite of his age. He had been shot and cut in street fights in his younger days, but eventually old man time had mellowed him some and given him some wisdom that only came with experience. Willie and I developed a mutual respect for one another over the years. One day, we were discussing trust with some younger fish in the county prison. Trust was something rare in prison, but Willie had an untarnished image of being a badass with the younger men, both black and white. All the inmates respected him, so they listened when he said, I have to have somebody watch my ear. And I got my paper stuff together. He had the group's attention, so he continued, my eyes are in front of my head, and the ear is on the side, so I can't see it myself. He paused before moving on, and he said, if a spider gets in my ear, I have to trust somebody to give me the word up before I get bit. And I like to use that story in step six, because I think step six is, or step five, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong week. In step five, because I'm not alone in this thing. And before, I always thought I was alone. And if you think about it, step one through four, it's pretty much alone. In fact, remember a few minutes ago, I told you to hold that thought for a minute, because I'll get back to it. Well, I want to get back to it now. In step four, I, and I'm going to put emphasis on that, made a fearless moral inventory of the things I needed to change that were blocking me from a relationship with God. Okay? And notice I said I needed to change, which means I was still managing my life. And in step, now if you remember previously in step 1, 2, 3, and 4, I said I did not believe in God at first. I cannot exactly recall. But I think at this point in the steps, I was at least getting God curious. All the people I respected in AA, that I respected their sobriety, I should say, had a very strong belief in God. And I was starting to get curious. And another thing set it off. It was one of the first Harvest of Hopes. There was a Canadian there, and he gave a lead. And his sponsor, he was a lot like me. He didn't really believe in God, but he was starting to get God curious. And his sponsor said, there's only two things you need to know about God right now. Number one is, yes, there is a God. And number two, it ain't you. And I that hit me. And like I said, I don't know if I actually believed in God, but I wasn't telling people I was an atheist anymore, and I was very God curious. And I think my first thought after I read the fifth step and I was God curious, I said, why do I need to tell another human being if I admitted my character defects to God? Why does anybody else have to get involved? And today I see it's because I can tell God what I want Him to hear and rationalize everything's okay. And if I do that with another human being, they're more tangible and they're right there and they can talk where I can hear them. And I can't always hear God because my ego gets in the way too much. But another human being will give me feedback, and most of the time it's unwanted feedback. So I came to believe, and this was just my personal thing, that in that process of turning my will and my life over the care of God, it really started to kick off in step five, because I solicited outside help in my inventory, which meant that I wasn't running the whole show anymore myself. Remember in step one I said my life was unmanageable by me, and I thought I could really manage my life pretty good once I started drinking and drugging. Well, I stopped drinking and drugging a long time ago, and I can still get in trouble real quick when I'm managing my life. One of the things I will tell y'all, if your sponsor's doing their job in the fifth step, you'll probably feel worse after it's done because you get some feedback. And it's more inventory, and it's taking a more realistic look at myself because I'm getting outside help. See, before, you know, I said I could lie to God, but I can lie to myself so easy. And when I have somebody else standing there saying, you know, this is what's really wrong, it helps me grow. And I do. I think this was the first step in surrendering my life, and I was no longer making all my decisions on my own. I was worried about time, and I'm way ahead of time. It's hard for me to judge how long this is all going to take. So right now, are there any questions about what I've said so far? Would you pass out step five sheets? And Scooter's going to pass them out. Maybe you could give somebody else some to help you or something. I don't know. No questions about what I've said so far on step five? We're going to take a look at just how step five works. Could I have a show of hands? How many people in here are also sponsor people? Oh, wow. Okay. That's good. A lot of people. And so I think what I want to do now is talk to you. I'm going to share my experience both as a sponsee and a sponsor, because I sponsor people. In fact, I have some sponsees out here tonight. They're the ones that are pointing up their one finger at me, I guess. And don't do it, Rich. I'll talk about you. Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. Did everybody get a sheet? Okay, last week I gave you a step four sheet, and there's some of them there if anybody wants a step four. Does anybody want to? It's actually on step five too. And what I do when I'm doing a fifth step myself. I do my fourth step, and then I make copies of my fourth step, and I take it to my sponsor, and give him a copy of it, and then I go over it and talk about what's here. And you'll see my sponsee, Freddie Flintstone, he's mad at Barney. And that's never going to change, okay? It's like column one is carved in stone. It's column two. It could change a little bit with some sponsors' input, but it stays pretty much the same. And Freddie wrote down, I made my friend Barney the sales manager in my company. Barney started his own company competing with me and took most of my customers with him. And that gave Fred a resentment. And I was going to actually do this with one of my sponsees, but I thought if people figured out, I'm going to leave, and I leave it alone, you know. So this, I really don't sponsor Fred. I put down Fred because he's a cartoon character, and I think I said that last week. There's probably a Flintstone Foundation that, when I hear about this, they'll probably sue the hell out of me, you know, or something. I don't know. But anyway. And I have affects my, I got an S and an X in front of these, and a X is what Freddie came up with on his own, and the S is what the sponsor came up to add to it. And Freddie had it affects my insecurity and my pride. And when we went over it, the sponsor said, it sounds like it affects your self-esteem, your ambitions also. And he agreed. So you see how the inventory just got deeper and some more things are added to it. And this is a continuum, a step four for inventory. And his feeling, Freddie said, I felt disrespected, rejected, abandoned, and attacked. And a sponsor came along and said, sounds like you felt vulnerable and used. And then there was one that wasn't on that list. You can add things that aren't on that list. I have the lists here. If any of you don't have them, you can pick them up. There's a lot of them left from last week, so they don't want to know, yeah. Thank you. God bless Kevin. He's such a joy. He really is. No, he's the one that talked me into this shit, you know. And Cindy put him up to it, so you're on my list too. And he felt betrayed. And this is monumental, because what I do is I have a lot of my sponsees, I always have them do a lot of these sheets, these four-step sheets, and I look for the ones that repeat. And the ones that repeat over and over are usually core issues. They're on all of them. And I'll tell you right now, one of my core issues when I do a fourth and fifth step on all my personal sheets, I almost always have disrespected on review of a resentment. So if you want to piss me off, just disrespect me and I'm there. You know, and it's core, and we'll talk. Mary's just going. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But column three, I like to have more than one person that I can do a fifth step with, and I'm going to talk about who to later tonight. Yeah, we're going to have time. Column four, as I said before, is what did I do? And it says, putting out of wrongs others have done. Column two. So disregard column two, because that's about Barney. and this is about Fred. Doesn't have anything to do with Barney. What did Fred do wrong? And Fred came up with, failed to set boundaries, trusted too easily, failed to supervise. He wasn't watching Barney and so forth. And then the sponsor used poor judgment in selecting his friend in an important position that he wasn't qualified for. One of my core issues on my on all my resentments, personal resentments, I'm being a little bit transparent here, but on my personal resentments, I've always found there's usually two things I did wrong. One or maybe both of them at the same. And one, it just describes perfectly on page 60 through 63 in the big book about how I try to control things and direct it and people don't do what I'm telling them and I get resentments, you know. And the other one is I failed to set good boundaries. Now, I'm working on a book right now that's actually on step 6 and 7. But when I get that done, my next book, I think I'm going to write on boundaries, because the big book in AA doesn't talk much about boundaries. Al-Anon does, but they don't really talk much about good boundaries. And I find the better boundaries I set, the less resentments I have. And the thing is, column 4, what I did wrong, that's the things I can change once I know how to change. And that's what the inventory is to identify these things. Because what blocks me from God is resentments a lot of times. You know, there's a lot of things I won't do that I need to do because I got a resentment, you know. And I'm, another one of my core issues is I'm rebellious and defiant. And tell me to do something, I'm going to do the opposite. It's got me in a lot of trouble over the years too. So, now the character defects, I have a list right there, and there's other things that aren't on the list that the sponsor can add, and so can the sponsee. Now, Fred came along and he identified he was self-seeking when he made Barney his friend to be the sales manager. He was impatient with Barney. He was submissive to Barney. And that's really all he could see. And a sponsor came along and said, sounds like you're complacent. You're impulsive. You're lazy. And you're trusting. Now you think trusting shouldn't be a character defect, and it's not on the list, I don't believe. The sponsor added that because I'll tell you what, trusting, I used to sell drugs and trusting was really a bad thing because that could land you in a can real easy. And I'm sure a couple of you can probably identify with that. Probably a couple of you that I sponsor can identify with that. But anyway, that's what the sponsor came up with. And like I said, it's to further. And the steps, including step 5, people said I did my 4th and 5th step, and God, I got rid of all that junk, and I feel better. I don't think the steps are about that. I don't think they're about the past and feeling better, although they make that happen. I think they're about the future, to seal the deal and quit doing things that cause you to have resentments and things to, because I guess our goal here is to have a spiritual awakening, as it says in the 12th step, and we're on the path right now. Now, that's the step sheets. I kind of explained it. And I know I'm supposed to wait till I'm almost done with the for questions. And I am almost done, but I'm not going to ask for questions. I'm going to ask for questions, but I'm going to ask them again when we do get done. Is there any questions on this step sheet that I have that I've handed out? Anybody? Now, I'll tell you once again, you're welcome. I got some step sheets up here if you want them. take them, you can revise them. Nobody's, I took them from one time I did a Joe McHugh group. I went and they handed them out, and I took them because they aren't copywritten or anything, and I changed them to fit my needs, the needs of me and my sponsees. And as you can see, there's a date up the top, April 12th, 2018. That's the last time I revised these. And I've said before, there's always more revealed. So probably before April 14th this year, I'll probably revise it again, and it'll change and it'll evolve. And I think that's a lot of step 10 work, and we're going to talk about that later in step 10. But don't be afraid to take these and change them to meet your own needs. And I said before, if anybody wants them on the computer, give me your email, because I have them on my computer. And I do make hard copies for people and sponsees and stuff. But I have them on a computer. For one, I like to do it on a computer so I can read them. And I was in a group where there was a female instructor, and she said, no, you want to write them so you can feel it. And I asked my wife about it. She says, yeah, she always has people write it so they can feel it. And the men wanted them on a computer so they could read it, you know. So there's a difference between men and women there, and I've talked a lot about that. Whatever you're comfortable with, you know. If your sponsor says write them. If they say, well, put them on the computer. And I have sponsees write them, and I have sponsees do them on a computer, and I don't care what they do them on. Now, the one last thing I want to address, who do you do a fifth step with? Don't do it with the town crier. You know, don't do it with somebody that you don't trust. One of the things, if you're going to do a... And I asked an actual priest about this. I said, when people come to confession, do you have to prove you're Catholic? He says, no. And so I've told people, if you want to do a laundry list and a confession, Catholics been doing it for years. Go in there, they have these, I'm not Catholic, but they have these little booths, you know. And go in there and say, Father, I have sinned. And confess. But the last sin you want to confess is, Father, I lied, I'm not Catholic. I don't know, maybe. I told Father Martin a joke. I wonder if I should tell that here. No? No? I got two no's and a yeah.
Yes.
I said to Father, you know, Father Martin, he's a priest, and I told him this joke because I had the privilege of picking him up at the airport, and we had him speak down at Allegheny, and he's a great guy, and we started telling jokes, which he does, and I have him on his high pedestal. And I said, you heard about the priest who's doing confessionals, and this drunk comes in staggering in right into the booth, and he was getting done, but he thought, oh well, one more. And he's waiting, and there's nothing, the guy's over there, and he's not saying anything, and he waits, and finally the priest says, can I help you, my son? And the guy says, yeah, you got any paper on that side? Father Martin's probably laughing about that right now, because we can't see him anymore, but believe me, he's here. But anyway, who do you do a fifth step with? Marilyn's just... you know, she wonders why she married me, and sometimes I wonder why she did, but anyway. God bless her. Oh boy. I like to do it with somebody that's done the steps. And I'll tell you the truth, I really like to do it with somebody that's done the steps with Joe McHugh, because they speak the same language. Now, my second sponsor, Gallagher, is going to roll over in his grave when I say this. But believe it or not, I do a lot of fifth steps with my bride, with Scooter. Because, for one, she knows me better than anybody else. She has no trouble being brutally honest with me. She understands core issues and family of origin and theory and stuff. So we speak the same language there. I also do my fourth step with my sponsor quite often. And I real often do it. I go to a men's retreat, and there was a retreat master that every year I'd have a stack of these, and I'd go do it with him, because it was. And the more people you do a fifth step with, the bigger your vision gets, because you're getting their input. Plus, and I also do it with my sponsees a lot of times, where I've went through it with them, and usually when I take a sponsee through the 12 steps, when they do a fourth step, I do a fourth step on something real close to it, and then I do a fifth step with them before they do the fifth step with me, because I believe two things. That's what keeps me in the game. You know, that keeps me peeling my onion, because I'm going through the steps with my sponsee, and it's hard to stay motivated to go through them without a reason over and over again, for me anyway, and that helps. Now, be very careful what you say and who you go through it with, and a lot of times on column one, I code that, because I keep these. And I code that. If it's a sponsee, I usually have S, maybe one initial, or something, where I don't really have their name there. Because I don't know if I've ever explained this publicly, but I was in the counseling business, and we have a thing called confidentiality. And confidentiality is keeping confidence of people. And anonymity is not breaking their anonymity that there's an alcoholic, they're alcoholic. And a lot of times I've known from discussion meetings, people get anonymity and confidentiality confused. They're apples and oranges. They aren't the same thing. And one of the things that I thought, I was at a meeting, and the guy that said this was also a professional, and one of the things he said was nobody ever got in trouble by saying too little. And as a sponsor, you don't want to tell people a lot about anything. And as a sponsee, when you're doing fifth steps, you have to kind of protect your own confidentiality. You don't have to tell even your sponsor everything. And there's some things that, like who I resent, probably has very little to do with getting over the resentment. It's more why I resent them. And that's what we're looking for here. And I am just about out of time, and that's funny, this week and last week I was worried about having enough time, and I finished a couple minutes. I'd like to finish about 7:20 to be able to answer questions for a minute, but I'm early, and nobody ever got drunk by too short a talk. Twiggy always used to say, yeah, the mind can only absorb what the ass can stand. And so, any questions, folks? This is Jill. I got her name wrong the first four. I was step five before I could remember. Her name's Jill.
Hi, Jill. comes in. I called her Mary and she comes up. Yes, you get a microphone.
I got to remember my wife's name because she gets really pissed
off. Like, where'd you get this list of words in column 5? It's a nice list.
Actually, there's a lot of lists. I had a list of 194 character defects, and I started giving it to my sponsees, and they started giving them out. And it made everybody feel like shit because they had all 194 of them. This list that I have here is one that I just made up from lists. I probably got them off the internet and stuff. You can add more to them. Like I said, it depends on your needs, Terry. And don't be afraid to change that and add to it, subtract from it. I condensed some of them because oppositional, defiant, and rebellious really all mean the same thing. And on here I put, what did I put? Defiant. I guess I got rebellious there. Controlling, there's a lot of them for controlling. And, you know, but that's a good question. Thank you, Terry. Does that answer it?
Absolutely.
Hi, I'm Laura. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Laura.
Excuse me. Have you ever heard of anybody saying, instead of character defects, which is a really negative connotation, saying something like bad patterns of behavior?
Well, yes, I've had them say other things. One of the best things was there was this guy. He's an old timer, and he said something that was real profound. He said, "I don't have character defects, I have character traits. But when they become defects is when they start to hurt me and other people." And that list of 194 character defects really is just a list of character traits. And I tell my guys, it's a racial thing. And that perks them right up because I see Helen's head came right up, racial. Yeah, if you're part of the human race, you've got all these traits. And when I give people the list of 194, they have all of them, you know. And so do I. I can identify with any character defect. This is a lot about me. Yeah, okay. And the thing is, actually, you're going to identify with different character defects on different resentments or different harms done to others or different fears. But what we're looking here, and Bill has it in the last paragraph of one of his chapters in the big book, where knowing our grosser handicaps. Now, grosser handicaps, and actually, Joe McHugh talks about the grosser handicaps. They're core issues, family of origin. And these handicaps, most theory says we develop them before we're 5 years old. Okay? And they stay with us through life. And what I do with my sponsees is I put on a card about the size of the credit card, usually 4 or 5 of their grosser handicaps, and I give it to them to carry in their wallet. And my grosser handicaps are I'm controlling, I'm impatient, I'm defiant, and because of those things, a lot of times I'm inconsiderate, and I'm also very self-centered. And and that's what shows up time and time again. And we're going to talk about them a little more next week when we're talking step 6, because these are the things I need to manage. And they block me from God, okay? I kind of went on a rabbit trail, but did I kind of help you there with it?
Yeah.
You kind of hesitant. What do I need to clarify?
Just the negative connotation of defense.
Well, one of my defects as a sponsor is quite often I don't tell people their positive character assets, and it is a good idea. A lot of times I'll say that to my sponsee, just like I said it there. One of my defects of being a sponsor, I see the negative because I'm looking for what's wrong in the fifth step. If I'm doing a fifth step with you, I'm looking for what's wrong. And I know my first sponsor, Big Jim, at the end of it, he says, "What's good about yourself?" I was sober about 8 months. They said, "Nothing." He says, "You got a nice smile and your nose don't look too bad for being broke." And that's, you know, but it did. And I think, too, when we're doing a fifth step, we want to be sensitive and remember the greatest gift you can give somebody else is hope. And if you can identify, if I did something real similar to what my sponsee did, I'm saying, well, I did that too. And it does get better. You do get over things. Thank you.
Anybody else? Marion.
Marion, yes. Thank you, Buzz. Good hearing you. What do you consider the biggest drawback of doing a fifth step with someone who has not worked the steps?
You don't speak the same language. They don't understand. And usually, it'll go back maybe to something that I was talking with Laura. That negative, and I've done fifth steps with people that didn't understand. I have a friend that's a preacher, and he's very negative, and he will come out, and he can't understand, what did you do that made you become an alcoholic? And I don't think I did anything to become an alcoholic. I think it was already there. I don't think I became an alcoholic. I didn't start drinking until I was almost 13. But I think that the defects, the low self-esteem, the depression, the anxiety were there from my earliest childhood memory. And when I took my first drink, I thought, damn, this shit works. This is fun. And I think I was talking, maybe it was with my bride, that I didn't try to hurt people when I never said, I'm going to get drunk and hurt somebody. And it happened. I mean, I did, and I regret that, but that was never my intention when I started drinking. I just wanted to feel better. Is that?
Jill,
do you have another question?
And Kevin have his question.
God bless Kevin. He's a joy to me.
And God needs to bless me. Thank you, Buzz, again for coming. Three quick questions. First one is, do you still have your sponsees burn?
No, I never do, and I never burned one since then. In fact, I don't tell them not to burn them, but I say, I burned my first one, and I regret that. I really do. I'd like to see it, because I don't remember what was all on it. And I did it, like I said, I was way less than a year sober, maybe 8 months sober. And I'd like to see it, but it's gone.
Yeah.
So I've never said we should burn this. And I don't like to give advice. I don't say not to, but I share my experience that I wished I wouldn't have burned it now, you know.
Yeah, I make sure that they don't.
You make sure they don't.
Yeah. The other thing, my second question is, when you find repeaters in the fifth step, how do you deal with that with your sponsees?
When I see they're repeating it?
Yeah, like, you know, somebody says...
The same character defect, like Freddie, if he's doing five or six of these worksheets and impulsive comes up five or six times,
right.
That's probably one of his grosser handicaps.
Right.
He's probably been doing that all his life.
Probably.
And I know myself, what did I do? It's either I was controlling, like it describes on 60 to 63, or I set poor boundaries, and that's happened my whole life. I mean, when I was about 10 years old, I shared my best fishing hole with a kid named Casey, and the next day I found him and Tommy fishing there, and I swore him to secrecy, and I beat the heck out of him, and that's kind of, I did that a lot over the years.
So basically you just show them the opposite of what the character defect is, what the virtue is that goes with that, and try to have them practice that, or?
I have them try to manage it. And the first thing is, in managing anything, is you got to know what you're managing.
Yeah.
It's the inventory. And that's where we're at here. And I will talk a lot. That's really step six and step seven stuff. And I plan on, right now I'm writing a whole book on that.
Yeah, you know? I understand that. I can't wait. Yeah. Really, I can't wait.
Hopefully in the spring you'll have it.
I have one last question.
Okay.
You got no time to answer it, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, the question is you said something about you think that people, a person should, I wrote, keep secrets from people that they're sharing their step with, their fifth step with, that they needed to be guarded.
I can see where you got that, because they said some things aren't important, and I do that. To say I did a fifth step with you, I would say SM like Superman, you know, instead of your name. Because it's not that I'm keeping a secret, but if I'm doing a fifth step on a resentment I have towards you, and I do it with Marilyn, she doesn't need to know who it is, because I don't want to taint her attitude towards you. Because a lot of the people that I have resentments for today are actually in the program. This is not about that I did
all you
40 years ago. Yeah. 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 Yeah, KC. No, I call him Superman because he did a lead. His last name, you know, and that's the same as Superman's. And yeah. And he wore a Superman outfit and gave a lead. It had a good impression on me. Yeah. Kevin, there's nobody like him, you know. I guess that's it. If there's no further questions, thank you.